I call this Roger That. And you guys are probably well aware of the radio communications that you use in the world. I want to give you a background on radio communications, about 30 seconds. I guess in the years before World War II, they used to send using the old telegraph technology, when they would send a telegraph signal, the guy receiving the signal would reply with an R, received. Eventually, it got changed to Roger. That was their way of saying we received it. And then the military have a language using phonetics, where they, when they spell things, they don't say God, they would say Golf Oscar Delta, so you don't make a mistake on the radio that it's God or whatever word you're trying to communicate. Well, Roger was that word during the war, and then it got changed later to Robert, and now it's Romeo. Anyhow, all that to say, in 1957, NATO changed it to Romeo, but the word Roger, so what it meant was receive the communications loud and clear. And that's what the word means. So I thought I would look at Roger that today. In Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, the first recorded communication from God to man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply. So he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So in this case here, there's no response recorded by man. But that was God's first communication to man. Then in chapter 2, he communicated again. In verse 15, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. See, there's no question that God was communicating to man, and that man was recognizing God's communications. There's no question there at all, is there? In fact, it would take a lot of communications. If you've ever sat down and thought about how Adam named all the animals, that's what it says. It would have taken a lot of communications from God and man to sit down. Well, Adam, what do you think this is? Well, I'm going to call it a cat. Okay, let's go with cat. I don't know what the conversation was like. I'm going to call that a dog and so forth. And he named all the animals. And so God and Adam were communicating very, very, very openly. And there's no question there at all when God spoke to Adam that Adam knew it was God speaking to him. There's no question. In chapter 3, verse 1, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And we all know this, not know and love, but we know this record, don't love it so much. But he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So now, we know this to be, and we're not going to talk about all the things happening. They're referencing the fall of man and how Eve changed the word and all that. But what happened was that we know that man fell here as a result of what happened here. But look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord. Well, you know, even despite the fact that they had just done a pretty serious mistake, which we're still paying for today, when God spoke, they heard him. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. See, even in a state of where you might call, you know, they were unredeemed and they had, you know, eventually they lost spirit and they were in a bad state, which Jesus Christ eventually had to recover us from. When God spoke to Adam, did he hear? Even in an unredeemed state, he spoke to Adam and Adam said, yeah, I know it's you. That's what I wanted to look at today, the idea of clear communications. Or the Roger that, when they say in the military, heard you loud and clear. Because there's a lot of religious thinking that is quite opposite to what the Word of God talks about, the clear communications that God has with man. A lot of times you hear people, you know, you hear these phrases like, well, I think God is telling me this. You ever hear anybody say that? I think God is telling me this. Or someone else might say, I'm pretty sure that was God. Or somebody else might say, well, I saw three red squirrels and three black ducks, and they were lined up together. That's obviously a sign. That's got to be a sign from God. It must be God talking to me. You know, or you hear phrases along those sort of lines from people all the time. I got a feeling that this is God telling me this. None of these phrases, expressions, statements are biblical in any respect whatsoever. And we just saw, here's God talking to Adam, and I'm, yeah, here I am, you know. Let's name the animals, okay, God. Unredeemed state, yeah, I know it was you, God. No question, there's never a question when God speaks to man. There never is in the Word of God. Let's look at some examples. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion that thou shalt make of it. The length of it shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And Noah said, Is that you, God? I think I might have heard something. No, you don't see that, do you? He tells him exactly. He tells him how many stories to have in it. Verse 17, And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. 19, And every living thing of all flesh to every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. And here, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he hear everything God told him? That's what it says. It says he did everything God asked him to do, so did he. Is there any question in Noah's mind here that it was God who was speaking to him? Nothing, is there? God spoke to him, Noah do this, and Noah did it. Took him a little, he kept him employed for 100 years, but he did it. He did exactly what God asked him to do. Numbers 22. Numbers 22. See, it's very it's sad when we have ourselves made those statements. Oh, I think it was God, or you hear someone saying, oh, that must be God. It must be, you know. You have to ask yourself the question: is God so incapable that he can't communicate with his people? Is God so incapable that it would not be very, very clear when God speaks to his people? You have to ask that question. And what we have is God's record of what he himself says. In Numbers 22, here's another example. Verse 11. You guys know this record about when the king had asked this crooked prophet named Balaam to come curse the children of Israel. In verse 11 of Numbers 22, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. Now before we read a few more verses, I will tell you the end of the story, is that later on, when Israel, you know, on their regular journeys, were advancing to a point where they got into some battles, the Israelites destroyed the people of Balaam and Balaam himself, because God holds Balaam responsible for getting Israel into the worship of Baal, Baal worship. Even though here, is there any question that he's hearing God's voice? Well, let's keep reading. When people are walking with God and they're listening to God, God's communication is very, very clear. Okay, where were we now? Yeah, here we go. 19. Now therefore I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto you, that shall you do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Had they come to call him? No, God told him, if they come to call you, go. But they never came, but he went anyway. Will not make God happy. And Balaam rose up and went, verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and the two servants were with him. Now throughout this next few verses, notice that Balaam is not walking very accurately, but you'll see God communicating to him in various means, and there's no question that he's getting communications from God. Verse 23, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. So he's beaten her now with a stick, whatever. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, which is the funniest part of the record, because what would you have done if your ass just tried talking to you? Yeah, he responded, Balaam, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. I'm going to kill you, you ass. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, No. I mean, he's actually carrying on a conversation with the ass, which is interesting. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. You know, the whole point of reading that record is that when God needed to communicate to somebody, was he able to do so? Was there any record, any doubt here in Balaam's mind? And Balaam was a crooked prophet, and we know later he was killed, and he was after the money. But there's no question that God was speaking to him, is there? Is there a case of, well, I think that was, I'm not sure, you know, maybe, show me a sign, show me, you know, like three clouds in a row or three trees and whatever. What? Show me, no. God communicated to him, and Balaam knew exactly who it was that was speaking to him, and he was crooked. 1 Samuel 16. See, what we know about God's ability to communicate, we get from God, his word himself. We don't make it up. We don't go to according to religious determination or religious thinking. We have to get it exactly from what the word of God says. And the word of God is very clear on God's ability to communicate to his people. This is for 1 Samuel 16, 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, this is right after, Saul was no longer going to be king. How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Now there's no question that Samuel is getting very clear instruction from God. You know, and it says of Samuel the prophet that there was not a word that he spoke. None of his words that he spoke fell to the ground. In other words, whatever he prophesied came to pass. That's the kind of tight relationship that Samuel had with God. Verse 3, And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of town trembled at his coming, said, Comest thou peaceably? Sometimes it wasn't a great sign to know the prophet was coming to your town. Are you coming peacefully? What have we done wrong? Remember, one of the parts of a prophet's ministry is to call people back to God. So maybe they were a little worried. Verse 5, he goes, No, don't worry, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed. This has got to be the guy. Man, look at that guy. He's in great shape, you know, great biceps, nice hair, beard, I'm sure, in those days. You know, whatever. Looking really, really, really strong. This has got to be the guy that God has anointed to be the king. And this is Samuel. Samuel, very, very tight with God. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, in the middle of him being maybe overwhelmed by his five senses or whatever the case was, when he saw Eliab, in the middle of that, he clearly heard what God told him. So even though he thought, you know, by his senses, this has got to be the guy. What need have we of further information, God? This has got to be the guy. God spoke to him, said, Look, Samuel, I don't look like people look. I look on the heart, okay? And then if you read the rest of the record, who does he pick? David. So he listened to God, even in the middle of a situation where he could have said, Well, surely I don't need any more information. I can tell by my five senses. This is how it always happens. No. God spoke clearly, and he heard very clearly, and he picked David. And that's quite an important choice in the history of God and man, as we know. Look at 1 Kings 17. See, it's a little bit sad when people might say things like, well, you know, I think that was God. Maybe it's God. I think he's trying to speak to me. You know, show me this or do that. And the word of God is very clear. 1 Kings 17:1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. So God told him, you got to go to this brook. I'm going to get the ravens to feed you there. And he went. There's nothing here that says, well, that's just the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Who gets fed by ravens? No one's ever done that before. No. God told Elijah. By the way, this is the same God that we worship today. The same one who sent Jesus Christ, the same one who raised Jesus Christ, same one who has given us Holy Spirit, the same God that we call Father now, same God. And he tells Elijah, I'm going to go by the river, brook, and I'm going to send you food by ravens. And what does he do? He goes. Verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass, after a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, okay, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And so he went. And if you follow the rest of that record, what happens? The widow woman takes care of him. You know, the whole point of these records, and there's many of them throughout God's word. When God speaks to his people, there's no question. There's never a question of, well, you know, I got this tingling in my toe that tells me it's God. So it must be. I'm just gonna, you know, maybe you get a tingling in your toe, I don't know. But the point is that when God's communications come, it's clear according to his word. It's not according to religious thinking or the thinking of people. It's according to his word. It is very, very clear. There aren't any cases. There are no records in the Bible where it says, I don't know, you know, maybe. Let's try it and see what happens. No, it's always God said this and man did this. And if there was ever a question, as we'll see one record in a second, people just went back to God and asked some more details. That's it. They never had a doubt that it was God, though. Never. In 1 Corinthians. We'll go to the New Testament now, just in case we should think that God has stopped speaking to man. New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, God has done some really wonderful things for the church that even the people in the Old Testament didn't have. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. You know, all the manifestations, as we know, involve the Spirit of God, that you had the Spirit of God. All of them involve use of the Spirit of God. And in all of them, there is some aspect of information or words coming to you from God. When you speak in tongues, they're not words you're making up. They're given to you. God's Spirit teaches his Spirit. You see? And is there any problem with that? Did it some days stop. Oh, what happened? No. Very clear, very simple. You know, when God gives the words, there's no doubt. Interpretation, prophecy, all inspiration of God. God gives his words to your spirit teaches your mind, and you speak. You know, no question, no problems, no issues. Very clear. And then he's given word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning spirits. Other three manifestations directly for information. There can be no doubt when you receive information from God that it's God. And we just saw it in the Old Testament. God said this. I say, okay, let's get on with it. Let's look at a record in Acts 9. Acts 9. I love this record. It's just a wonderful example of the clarity and detail with which God speaks to his people. Acts 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. So this is Paul, later on, as we know. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he's, you know, attacking Christians, as we know. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. Was Saul a believer yet? No, he wasn't yet. And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, well, he was an Israelite, okay, but he wasn't a Christian yet. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, when Jesus spoke to Paul, what did Paul say? Who's that? What's going on here? Is there any? No, he said, who are you? I'm Jesus. Okay. See, the communications between Jesus Christ and Paul here, very clear, no questions. If God needs to get through, and here he's asking Jesus Christ to deal with the situation, when God needs to get through to people, it would be a shameful for us to say that God is limited in his ability to communicate with his people. Wouldn't it? Isn't God able? Yeah, it sure is. So here, when he's speaking to Paul, verse 5, and the Lord, and he said, who are they? Oh, it's first, verse 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and get thee, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days, without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus. A certain disciple, you know, he's not mentioned as a prophet or anything like that. A certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, who's that? No. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. No question in Ananias' mind that it was God speaking to him. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Now listen to this. Read these two verses are, I mean, very, very inspiring and exciting to read. Because look what he tells Ananias. Arise and go into the street which is called Straight. I want you to go, the name of the street you're going to go on is called Straight. And inquire in the house of Judas. So the house you're going to, it's owned by a guy named Judas. For one called Saul. You're going to see someone there named Saul. By the way, he's from Tarsus. And when you get there, he's going to be praying. You want to talk about details in the information that God has given to Ananias? This is the house. This is the street. This is the guy you're going to meet. This is who owns the house. And this is what the guy's going to be doing when you get there. And listen to this. And he has seen in a vision a man, Ananias. By the way, I've already told him that a guy named Ananias is coming to see you. You want to talk about a spiritual doorbell? You know, you go here, this is the guy who owns the house, this is going to be there, this is what he's going to be doing. By the way, I've told him that you, not Ananias, are coming to see him. Do you think God might just be able to communicate clearly to his people? Absolutely. There's no doubt. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, here we go. Little problem with what he just heard. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and hath here he hath authority from the chief priest to bring all that call on thy name. He said, this guy has been causing a little bit of trouble. He's been, you know, a few Christians being sent in jail because of him, a few Christians being beaten, if you read their history. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. There he goes. No question. Went his way. Is there any doubt there in any of that record that it was God speaking, you know, through Jesus Christ here, because he had Jesus Christ deal with the situation, to Paul and then to Ananias? No doubt, is there? So why would anybody ever say, well, I think that was God. I'm not sure. Maybe. You know, I'm not sure. You don't worry. I got this feeling. I got a feeling it was God. God's trying to tell me. If God is trying to tell you and he can't tell you, he's a very incapable God indeed. Because sure, there are a lot of records in the Bible where there's no question God is very well and able to communicate to his people. Right? We'll close in Acts 27. So, you know, the only thing you should ever have to say to any communications that come from God is, Roger that. That's all you should have to say. Loud and clear, received, no question. I'll do exactly what you ask. You know, none of the other stuff. Acts 27:18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. This is Paul on his journey to Rome. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. In the midst of a situation where they were about, according to them, they had lost all hope that they were going to live. They hadn't eaten. There was a huge tempest, a storm. They were on the verge, you know, they hadn't seen the sun and moon, stars, and very, very dire circumstances. In the middle of that, clear communication to Paul. And here, you know, God sends an angel and tells him, verse 25, Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, howbeit it must be cast upon a certain island. In other words, clear. Roger that, God. Clear. Got it. This is going to happen. No question. No question who told him, right, that it was directly from God via an angel in that situation, right? You know, you can think of many, many other examples in the Bible. If you go through, I'm sure you have many favorite records, but remember Daniel and Belshazzar, the writing on the wall? Crooked king, his hand appears and writes on the wall. No question who sent that. Paul's journey to Jerusalem. Remember one time when Paul went to Jerusalem and he wasn't supposed to go? Then along that entire route, many times, no question that God's communication was coming to him. He didn't go. He didn't listen because he didn't hear. It's not that he didn't hear, that he didn't listen. He didn't listen because he wanted to go to Jerusalem. It was his own will to go. But God's will was made clear. Many said, you know, Agabus was sent, a prophet was sent down, his hands were bound, people prophesied, they told him, don't go. All the information was very, very clear. He just didn't want to go at that time. That's the only situation. How about Jonah? When God spoke to Jonah, he said, you know, go to Nineveh and preach. What happened? Nineveh, he bought a ticket somewhere else. I'm not going there. But there's no question that he knew who told him, is there? He knew as God had told him. It wasn't a matter of, well, I'm not sure. I don't really think that was God, so I'm just going to buy a ticket and go to wherever he was going there. And he bought a ticket. No, no question at all. And even in the case of Jonah, just how about Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all these men? You know, we talked a little while ago about the 33 chapters of Revelation given to Moses at the end of the Promised Land. You know, no questions in any of those situations. There's never any issue with God. If God wants to give information, He can do it. And the calms will be perfect. No feelings, no doubts, none of this, "I think that was God." Even in an unredeemed state, Adam heard. A crooked prophet heard. Even when emotions might have been involved in Samuel's case, he heard. It was always very, very, very clear. You know, it's no issues with God. He can communicate. His communication is clear. It's reliable.